Open your Bibles, please, to the book of James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1309. We'll be reading the first three verses of this fourth chapter. We'll read the verses in unison. And then we have another scripture to which we'll return after reading, or to which we'll turn after reading that. As we always do, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. James 4, the first three verses, read with me, please. Ready? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Turn now to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Page 1200, 1200. Romans chapter 7, verses 15, 16, and 17. Okay, let's read verses 15 through 17 of the 7th chapter of Romans. Ready? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And let's pray. Father, certainly it's a wonderful privilege that we enjoy today, these folks in this room. We're thankful for that privilege. We're thankful for thy watch, care, and blessing over us and for enabling us to be here. Thank you for our church. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for the preaching of thy word. It's meant so much to so many in this room through many years. Now we pray for thy power to be demonstrated in a wonderful way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Showed off at the end, didn't he? I had a hard time this morning deciding what title to give to my message. I wrote down first title, The Cause of the Internal Warfare. And then I said, no, that's not what I want. So I, under that I wrote, focusing the two eyes, not these eyes, but I. Paul said, I do not that which I want to do, that which I would, I do not. Focusing the two eyes. And that's closer to what I wanted. And then I decided to call the sermon, How to Be at Peace with Yourself. So that's the title of my message, How to Be at Peace with Yourself. The Apostle James said, from whence cometh wars among you? He's not talking about wars between people. He's talking about wars within the individual. From whence cometh wars inside of you? When you are not at peace with yourself, but you are at war with yourself. I love this book. I love to preach it. I only love to preach it when you hear it. And this morning, I'm going to tell you why you're at war with yourself. This turmoil. I was thanking God last night, late at night. I was thanking God. I said, God, as far as I know, I'm at peace with myself. As far as I know, I am at peace with myself. I'm not at peace with everybody. As far as I'm concerned, I am, but there's some people don't care for me. I don't know why. I'm such a nice guy. There's nobody in the world, not a living human being in the world, for whom I wouldn't give my last dime if he needed it, and for whom I would not help if he needed help, regardless of his or her feeling toward me. But I thank God this morning, though some people do not. Maybe there might be warfare between people. I thank God this morning. I'm at peace with myself, and I know that everybody in this room who knows that kind of, I'm not talking about peace with God now. Jesus made that on the cross 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about your being at peace with yourself. And I'll guarantee you, I can help you. God can help you with the truth that he delivers to you through his servant this morning. Our Heavenly Father, you've given me, I believe, the truth I'm supposed to share with my people. But I cannot help them, nor can you, if they do not listen. I pray that every eye shall be focused toward this pulpit. Every mind shall be focused on what is said, and every heart shall be receptive to what is sent forth from this pulpit today. Change our lives because we're here. Help us to declare peace with ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two parts of you. Part number one, what you are. Part number two, what you do. When these two parts are compatible with each other, then your life is at peace with itself. When these two parts, and by the way, when you're sitting there writing while I'm preaching, I don't know what you're doing. You might write a letter home. I don't know how many times I'll tell you. I want you to listen. I'm not here to teach a lesson. I'm here for God to transform your life. Please, I beg you to watch me and listen carefully. I think it's the most important hour of the week when God's man stands to speak to God's people. Says, bother you when I write? No, it bothers me that you're not watching and listening and getting everything you can. I'll give a test on this. I said there are two parts of you, what you are and what you do. Now, those two parts of you and their compatibility determine your peace with yourself. When those two parts are compatible, when you, what you are and what you do are compatible with each other, then and only then are you at peace with yourself. Every person this morning who has unrest in his breast, every person here this morning who has trouble and warfare within, and you know who you are, it's because you have not focused what you are and what you do. You're not doing what you are. Paul illustrates that when he said, what I would, I do not. And what I would not, I do. He said, what he's saying is this. He's saying the things I believe I'm supposed to do, I don't do. He said, the things that I believe I should not do, those I do. And then the next thing he says, there is war in my members. What is it? What I believe I ought to do and what I do are warring with each other. Let me illustrate. You're taking a trip. You're going, say, to Denver, Colorado. Now, you planned that trip. If you're a man, you planned it for one day. If you're a woman, you planned it for 3 weeks. If you're a man, you got an extra change of clothes on a hanger. If you're a woman, you got four trunks you're going to have to ship by train. But you're going to Denver, Colorado. Now, you planned that trip. Everything is planned. All right, now that's the plan. So you take off for Denver. Now, you will only be at peace on that trip if what you do between here and Denver is to get you to Denver. If you have an engine that blows up and you're stranded, you're frustrated. Why? You're at war with yourself. Why? Because your actions are not focused with your plan. As long as everything, even if you stop to eat, that's to get your strength to get to Denver. If you stop to get gasoline, that's to help you get to Denver. And everything that you do is within the circumference or perimeter of your plan to go to Denver. Everybody in this room, who's ever taken a vacation knows what I'm talking about. More people divorce on vacation than any other time in the world. More kids are murdered by parents on vacation than any other times in the world. More fusses per square foot on vacation any other time in the world. I've always been the kind of fellow that I believe the next restaurant's going to be better than this one. And so we run out of gas going to the next restaurant. And now, I'm not going to go any further than that. But you know what I'm saying. I'm saying that your peaceful trip to Denver will be determined totally on what reconciliation or your reconciliation between your plans for the trip and your arriving or getting to Denver. Everything you do is supposed to be a part of the plan to get to Denver. We'll drive so many miles and then we'll stop and eat. We'll drive so many miles and we'll stop and eat again. In my case, it's usually 10 miles. And we'll stop and eat again. Then we'll drive so many miles and we'll stop at a certain place in Dakota and we'll sleep for the night. Then we'll get up, we'll have breakfast, and we'll leave at 8 o'clock and we'll take off for the trip toward Denver again. Now, the motel is a part of that trip. The eating is a part of that trip. And as long as what you do is within the plan of the trip, then you're at peace. But if something happens, okay, a detour, and you've got to go miles and miles out of the way, and oh, you say, oh, we're behind schedule, and oh, my soul, we didn't have enough money to pay for extra gas, and oh, everything's gone bad. Now, the truth is, that's when you get frustrated, and that's when you get at war with yourself. Look, every man in this room this morning has come home at night, every married man has come home at night, and your wife has met you at the door with this. Oh, what a day. In fact, 365 days a year for many of you. But especially, oh, what a day. A wasted day. What does it mean? She says, I had planned to do this and this and this and this, but oh, the kid got the nail in his foot and the dog got the mange and the house started leaking and the washing machine broke and I didn't get a single thing done today I'd planned to get done. What? She's at war with herself, and after a while she'll be at war with you. I'd suggest you go back to work, work late. But the honest truth is, what's her trouble? The trouble is that what she believes and what she has done are not the same thing. And that's why folks are at war with themselves. That's why Paul said there's a war going on. What I believe and what I do not reconcile or focus. Let me illustrate again. I was out in the West, I think it was in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and I saw a painting. That painting had the most beautiful background I've ever seen, or one of the most beautiful backgrounds I've ever seen. But the crazy guy had put in the foreground something that did not go with the background. Now, if that background had been by itself, it would have been a gorgeous painting. Or if that foreground had been by itself, sort of like a desert with a streetcar going down the middle of it, you know, or a train, or a bus. The foreground by itself was beautifully painted and a beautiful painting. And the background by itself was a beautiful painting and well done. But the truth is, the painting itself was not beautiful because the background and the foreground did not coincide with each other. Now, the background of your life is what you believe. What are your convictions? What are your principles? What are your doctrines? What do you believe? Now, the foreground of your life is what you do. What you're going to do this afternoon, what you did yesterday. Now, if the foreground of your life does not match or is not appropriate with the background of your life, then your life is not going to be at peace. The foreground is not at peace with the background. I'll guarantee you, every Christian in this room, and there are hundreds of you, every Christian in this room who's in turmoil today,
Now, I'm not saying I have no burdens. I'm just simply saying I'm at peace with myself. Now, the reason I'm at peace with myself is because, as far as I know, I practice what I believe. The reason I'm at peace with myself is because, as far as I know, I am doing what I do is within the purpose of God's will for my life. Now, if you're not at peace with yourself, it's because that your background and your foreground are not focused with each other. They're not appropriate with each other. Your background is your convictions. And your background is composed of your principles and your standards. But are you living by your principles? Are you living by your standards? Are you living by your doctrines? When you have one background and one foreground, then you have conflict and you have war with yourself. When the I that I would do is not the same as that which I do, then you have war. Paul said that there's a warfare going on. He said that which I would do, that's the background. That which I do, that's the foreground. That which I would do, that's the plan for the trip to Colorado. That which I do, that's what you do on the trip to Colorado. I'm saying that when those do not coincide, then you are at war with yourself. You know what? I could postpone every trip you've got planned to your psychiatrist if you'd listen to me right now. I'll guarantee you I could put the psychiatrists in America bankrupt. Most of them I know need desperately to go to a psychiatrist anyway. But I could put them bankrupt. Bunch of Christians trotting down, sitting there and laying on a couch. Buy you a couch and lay on one at home. And laying on a couch, and all a fellow does is hear what you say. Look, come to me. Tell me what you've done. I'll give you a half price. I got a sale this week. Thanksgiving sale, pre-Christmas sale, close-out sale. Name it. Well, I'll name what you want to name it. I'm simply saying I can tell you a problem. Your background and your foreground do not match each other. The I of what you are and the I of what you're doing are not compatible to each other. And so the I of principle is fighting the I of behavior and saying, you ought to do that. But the fighting of behavior says, the I of behavior says to the I of principle, I want to do this. So what you're doing is not compatible with what you think you ought to do. Your behavior is not compatible to your doctrine. And you sit there right now, a nervous wreck, all frustrated, at war with yourself, not at peace with yourself. Why? Simply this. What you are and what you do are not the same. I preached a sermon here along this line. Months ago, maybe a year ago. Called Get Back in Your Game Plan. It's sort of like this. There'll be football games this afternoon all over America. They were yesterday. Now they make what they call a game plan. A game plan is the coach's plan. I use the word coach in plural. Coach's plan for the game. They watch the movies of the opponent for this week, and they find the weaknesses of that opponent and they attack those weaknesses. For example, there's a certain cornerback for the Washington Redskins that's injured right now, and they say that their game plan for the Dallas Cowboys today is to attack that the substitute cornerback. Why? There's a weakness there. Some teams defend better against the run, and some teams defend better. Wake up on the front, please, or sit back in the back, one or the other. Some teams defend better against the run, and some teams defend better against the pass. Now, the game plan is to it is a plan for the game. Now, I'll guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, when the game is over, the losing quarterback will say, we got out of our game plan. What is he saying? He's saying that the individual plays that we called are not within the perimeter of the game plan. We panicked. We passed when we should have stayed in our game plan. We tried to throw the bomb or the long pass. We should have just gotten in our game plan. I was in a motel room several years ago when Dallas was playing Washington on a Monday night. And I got there in time to watch the last half of the game. When I got to Maroon, the score was 22-3 in favor of Washington. And Dallas hadn't done anything right, they said. Tom Landry went to the dressing room, and he said, fellas, we're not going to panic. We have a game plan. I believe it'll work. And he said, we are behind 22-3, but we are not going to panic. He said, we're going to go right out there and play like the game just started, and the score is 0-0. And if we can play like our game plan says, if they can beat us 22-3 in the first half, we can beat them 22-3 in the second half. And they went out there, and they kept in their game plan, and Dallas came back and won the game by a point or two. Why? Because they stayed in their game plan. Now listen to me. Your frustration this morning, and your being at war with yourself, is because you are not in your game plan. God has a plan for your life. Now, you're going to someday pursue that plan, but today you're not pursuing that plan. You're not doing anything today that is getting you closer to your goal and the game plan for your life. And that's why you're not happy. Listen to the statement. Sincerity is nothing but the true relationship between character and action. Let me say it again. Sincerity is nothing but the true relationship between character and action. Look, you say, I don't like myself. You know why you don't like yourself? Because yourself is not doing what yourself believes. And you know you're not sincere. And you know your actions are at enmity with your beliefs. I don't care who you are. Yes, if your name is written in heaven and the Holy Spirit lives in here, you're not going to be happy in sin. You're not. There's going to be war within your members, as James said. A war within your members. And as Paul said, that which I would, I do not. That which I would not, I do. Why? Because your character is not in proper relationship with your action. You focus the two eyes of Romans 7 to where what I would, that I do, and you have peace with yourself. That when the trip carries out the plans of the trip, you have peace with yourself. When the background and the foreground are in harmony with each other, you have peace with yourself. When the games of the plays of the game are in harmony with the game plan, then you have peace with yourself. Paul's epistles are that way. Paul started off most all of his epistles with the game plan, what you are. In Romans 1 through 11, you have what you are, doctrines, beliefs. Romans 12 through 16, you have actions and the way you ought to behave. Now what Paul is saying, first believe right and then do right because you believe right. Now there are some people that do right, but they don't believe right. They call those politicians. They do right, but they don't believe right. They're trying to impress you. They may be trying to win you to go to the altar and marry some guy that's got a bad character, acts right to get some of our girls deceived here, and some girl marries a guy because his actions are right, because he's trying to get her, when the truth is he has no character. On the other hand, there are people that have character and believe right who are not doing what they believe, and they're at war with themselves. That's what, if I think Paul wrote Hebrews, that's what Hebrews is all about. Hebrews 1:11 deals with doctrine, what you are. Hebrews 12 and 13 deal with how you behave. Paul is saying, this is what you ought to believe, and this is what you ought to do because you believe. Now, when Romans 12 through 16 is in harmony with Romans 1 through 11, you have peace in your soul. When Hebrews 12 and 13, what you do, are in harmony with 1 through 11, then you're at peace with your soul. Now listen, ladies, I'll tell you why you're all frustrated. You don't have to have a stupid nervous breakdown. You haven't got to always be like it. You don't have to do that. You know why it's that way? I'll tell you why. You don't like yourself. You're at war with yourself. You're not at peace with yourself. Why? Because you don't believe in adultery, but you watch the soap operas. And so you're at war with yourself. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in praising God? How many believe in praising God? Raise your hand way up high. I put your hands down. I won't ask you this, to raise your hand on this one, but if I did, it'd be embarrassing. How many of you praise God this week? I told you, I want you to raise your hand. No hands up, please. Okay, if you believe in praising God and you have not praised God this week, then this week your actions do not coincide with your character. What you are is not what you're doing. And that's why you're not at peace with yourself. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in prayer? Would you raise your hand? You believe in prayer. Would you lift your hand, please? You may put your hands down. Do not raise your hand. But how many of you have prayed 5 minutes today already? This is Sunday. I'll pray a little more on Sunday. How many have prayed 5 minutes today? Now you say, that's why you came to church a nervous wreck. And that's why you men went out in the car and all you had to do was get up and not even bathe. You just put on some cologne instead. You got up, and all you had to do was put your suit on your underclothes on over your dirty body and go out and get in the car and honk for 30 minutes because your wife can't get ready on time. And all she had to do was cook breakfast and wash the dishes and get herself ready and get the three kids bathed and get the kids dressed, and you sit out in the car and beep, 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 come on, we're going to be late. You sorry devil, you. Now, the reason, listen, the reason, you don't believe in losing your temper. And if your kids have a fight with each other, you scold them. Of course, you can scream at her all you want to. Yeah, if your kids act at each other like you act to the old lady, the kids will be grounded to the 35. You see, you believe in being mild-mannered, but you are not mild-mannered. You don't believe in having a hot temper, but you have a hot temper. I'm saying to you ladies, you believe in being mild and yet scream and holler to kids. Why? What's your trouble? You are not at peace with yourself. You don't like yourself. You know you don't. And the reason you don't like yourself is what you are and what you do are not the same. And you're not going to be at peace with yourself till you reconcile your actions to your beliefs and convictions. Boy, this is good. Do you believe in a schedule? Yes, sir, I believe in a schedule. Do you have one? Do you believe in Bible reading? Oh, yes, yes. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to quit trying to get prayer back in the public schools and try to get prayer back in the homes. Now, we still pray in the public schools, but I wonder who's left there to pray. Well, I know people, boy, I'll tell you what. I think we ought to get prayer back in the public schools. How about prayer back in your life first? Why don't somebody start a crusade on getting prayer back in the life, getting prayer back in the home? There, we ought to have the Bible back in our school system. Well, the only thing your Bible does in your house is set you on the coffee table and you look over it while watching MASH. Listen, see, you know that stuff is wrong. You know that primetime television garbage is wrong. You know that. And yet you do not do what you know. You know adultery is wrong, but you watch it. You know drinking is wrong, but you watch it. You know cursing is wrong, but you watch it. So what's wrong? Why are you at war with yourself? Why are you not at peace? Why do you hate yourself? Because you and what you do and what you are not reconciled with each other. There are three things to focus. First, you're supposed to have a purpose. And then your actions in life are supposed to coincide with that purpose. Are you going where you know to go? Are you on the way to where you plan to go? If you are not going where you plan to go, you are at war with yourself. And you will not be at peace with yourself until you decide to go where you plan to go. Illustration. I wept yesterday. I opened a letter. Dear Brother Hiles, listen to me. I'm a former student of Hiles Anderson College. I used to attend the Thursday night meetings when you go out and fellowship with the girls and have the question-answer time. I loved Hiles Anderson College, but I left. Of course, I didn't come by to see you because I knew what you'd say. But I left. Now listen carefully. She said, of course, it was a mistake. Now she said, I'm not married, but I'm pregnant. He won't marry me. He won't have anything to do with the baby. I want to keep the baby. I'm going to keep the baby. Brother Howes, do you still love me? And will you still pray for me? I just wanted to write you and tell you I love you and beg you to pray for me. Now, what's wrong with that young lady? She got up, the trip that she had planned, she didn't take. And you get off, listen, you get out of the trip that you had planned, you're going to have some troubles. I'm saying that she is at war with herself. She's not at peace with herself. You know one thing, I'm not perfect by any means, but one thing, brother, ever since that night on New Year's Eve, over 40 years ago, ever since that night when I walked down the aisle as a little introverted kid and said, God has called me to preach the gospel. God knows this is true. I've been on that path ever since. On that path ever since. And that's why I'm at peace with myself. I'm on the road that I planned to travel. I'm going down the road. Now, if many things want to get me off of it, but I won't do that. No. Uh-uh. No. No. Somebody said, Brother House, would you lead our campaign on the anti-abortion? Now, I'm against abortion, but God called me to preach this book and not just live for the anti-abortion crowd. Would you lead our campaign, anti-communistic crusade? I hate communism with a passion. I do not believe communism ought to be allowed to exist as an official party in the United States of America. I don't think any philosophy has a right to be taught or embraced that is dedicated to the destruction of the other freedom, freedom of other philosophies to exist. Man doesn't have a right to go free in my house if he's there to kill me. But God didn't call me to spend my life fighting communism. God called me to spend my life preaching this book and building New Testament churches. I've not gotten off on some sidetrack. I don't plan to run for governor of Indiana this year. No, that's not my business. I know preachers all across this nation who've resigned their churches and run for political office. What have they done? The plan for their life and the action for their life are not the same. And the reason you're not at peace with yourself is one reason is because the plan for your life and the actions of your life do not coincide. Secondly, not only have a purpose and let your actions coincide, but secondly, have a doctrine and let your actions coincide. Are you living what you know to live? Far as I know, I'm at peace with myself. And one reason I'm at peace with myself, because as far as I know, when I took my stand years ago on my convictions and what my beliefs, as far as I know, I'm preaching what I did then. As far as I know. Are you living what you know to live? Does your doctrine coincide with your action? Now, there are hundreds of us this morning that are out of our game plans. There are hundreds of people this morning. You believe in the... If I get up and I said, no more soul winning in this church, none. We'll have no more soul winning in this church. Hundreds of you would say, you change that or we'll walk out. So you believe in it. Ask a question. Are you doing any of it? You believe in the doctrine of prayer. Are you praying much? You believe in the doctrine of this book. Are you reading it much? Thirdly, not only have a purpose and let your actions coincide, not only have a doctrine and let your actions coincide, but you have a conviction and let your actions coincide. A lot of you folks know you have a conviction it's right to tithe, but you don't tithe. That's why you're at war with yourself. You have a conviction it's wrong to drink, but somebody drinks liquor in your living room in a box every night. You're not at peace with yourself. Now, you're not going to be at peace with yourself until the way you live coincides with the way you believe. Ask your question. What's the purpose for your life? Why did God make you? What is his plan for your life? Are you pursuing it? Are you on the road? Have you made any progress since last Sunday morning on the journey? Or have you been sidetracked and detoured, and you're not any closer to your goal than you were a year ago. That's why you're frustrated. Let me say this. This is not a college service, but I want to say this to the Hiles Anderson married folks. That's why some of these wives get disgusted. They come here to go to school. Prepare for the ministry, maybe. Prepare for the mission field. The poor little wife sacrifices, and she's happy to sacrifice as long as you're heading for the goal. But see, she sees you stop the goal. She sees a whole year's passed. You're no closer to what you came to do than you were a year ago. She gets discouraged, and she should stay, and she shouldn't get discouraged, but she does, and goes home to mama, and you say, I understand that. She's not submissive. Well, I'll tell you what. It's pretty hard to follow a fellow that's standing still. Brother Colston, stand behind me. Follow me. Is he following me? You're not following me, Brother Colston. Follow me. Did you hear me, Brother John? Follow me. What are you waiting on? Why don't you follow me? I'm not going anywhere. Thank you. He can't. This is a great statement. You can't go anywhere with anybody that's not going anywhere. That's as great as that statement I made at the cottage the other day. I said, I don't know how you behave when I'm not here because I've never been here when I'm not here. Man, what truths you learn here. You can't follow anybody. It's not going anywhere. And a lot of you are frustrated and miserable and at war with yourself and not at peace with yourself. Why? You don't like yourself because you're not headed to where you plan to go. Others of us are at war with ourselves and not at peace because we believe doctrines and our actions do not abide within the perimeter of those doctrines. And others are at war, are not at peace because they have convictions. And yet they're not doing, they're not living within inside the perimeter or circumference of those convictions. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are, but I guarantee you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people this morning are sitting in this room who are at war with yourself. And the simple, honest reason is the two eyes have not focused. What I would, I don't. There's warfare, Paul said. What I would not, I do. There's warfare, Paul said. Now, Paul, when you get to the place, or I get to the place, where you say, what I would, I do, then there's no war because both eyes are getting along with each other now. That's really what schizophrenia is all about. That's really what split personality is all about. The two eyes are not focused. You're out of your game plan. I said a while ago, as far as I know this morning, I have burdens like you do. I cry like you cry. I hurt like you hurt. But I have peace with myself. I have peace with myself. And as far as I know, I'm on my way to the journey God planned for me. And as far as I know, my actions in life coincide with my doctrines. And as far as I know, my behavior and my actions in life coincide with my convictions. Now, to whatever degree your actions depart from what you believe, you're not at peace with yourself. Why don't you this morning decide where you're going? And let everything you do in life be a part of getting there. And why don't you decide this morning what you believe? And let everything in your, every action of your life be inside that circle of what you believe. And why don't you decide some convictions and let your life abide by those convictions? I said a while ago, and I close with this statement again, sincerity is nothing but the true relationship between character and action. Hypocrisy is nothing but the improper relationship between character and action. to whatever degree your actions and your character, what you do and what you are, focus with each other. That is your degree of sincerity. Now let's don't be emotional this morning. Let's don't tell a sad story. Let's don't cry before we close the sermon. Let's don't try to hit the mountaintop. Let's just look at this thing square in the eyeball to eyeball. Look at yourself today. Look at yourself. What are you? What are you doing? And you just get that little thing on the camera, that little button on the side, and you just keep turning it until here's what you are. Here's what you do. You stay on your knees until they focus. And then you'll be at peace with yourself. Your big problem is you believe right, but you're not doing what you believe. And that's why you don't like yourself. And that's why you're not at peace with yourself. Father, bless the message. Enough truth has been preached here this morning to change the lives of all of us.